This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later, we'll talk about the global warming bill stalled in the Senate and Honda's new fleet of hydrogen fuel cell cars. But first, a new science fiction film is out by the writer and director of some very spooky films like The Sixth Sense. This one is called The Happening, and it also purportedly is very spooky and explores the idea about what happens when nature turns against humans. Then we really can't say for sure because we haven't seen the film yet. It is very hush hush. We can see from the trailer that we see people collapsing dead in the streets, failed perhaps by some mysterious cause. But in the movie, interestingly enough, Mark Wahlberg plays a high school science teacher scrambling to understand the cause of this major environmental crisis and escape it. And the film opens a week from today on, of course, Friday the 13th. Joining me now to talk about the new film and how it fits in with real-life environmental issues is my guest, M. Night Shyamalan, who is a director, writer, and producer of The Happening. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Science Friday, but we talk about a lot of science issues. And when we were contacted by your publicist to come on the program, we figured they must have known that. And we're very happy to have you on here because we love your work. But is there any real science? Are you delving into scientific issues and using science sleuthing at all in the film?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what was fun about it was, you know, I had this an idea for this movie, and I kind of wrote it out, and then I went to kind of my research people here, and I said, look, here's the idea for the movie. Is this at all possible? Could this possibly happen? And they came back with all these stacks of cases and studies and scientific information, and they went, not only is it possible, but versions of this have happened in nature a lot. And so it was a very interesting process to kind of, something that kind of, take what Michael Crichton does, take two things that are scientific, that's factual, that's happened, and then take a leap to a third thing that could happen.
So is this a film about the Earth rebelling?
Well, you know, it could be. It could be. part of the fun of it is that there's, basically what happens in the movie is that there's about this couple that live in Philadelphia, and then this event happens in New York where it appears an airborne chemical toxin has been released and people are dying in a very, very horrific fashion. And it's attributed to terrorists in its initial phases. And then it starts happening in other cities, in Boston and Philadelphia and all along this East Coast this crescent-shaped area of the East Coast. And our couple finds themselves stuck in this area, and there's all kinds of theories about who's doing it and what's causing it, and they become less and less plausible as the event takes on the scale that it's taking on. It's an interesting thing because when I started writing it, people started sending me articles because they knew what I was writing about, friends and people that we work with, and one of the articles was about the bees disappearing.
Right.
And
that's collapse.
Actually the kind of the opening scene of the movie with Mark talking about in his classroom, talking about the bees disappearing, and it's very much about what we're talking about here, the idea that, you know, there are acts going on here that science is going to try to label, well, the bees disappearing is because of this, it's because of cell phones, or because of that, or because of this, and in reality, we really don't know what happened, but we know there are forces at work that we're not aware of, and there's something greater, a shift that's happening that we're not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of those kind of references in the movie to oddities that are occurring in science.
In fact, we have Mark Wahlberg saying that very line in the film. Let's see if we can hear that cut.
Science will come up with some reason to put in the books, but in the end, it'll be just a theory. We will fail to acknowledge that there are forces at work beyond our understanding.
Very spooky.
Wait, yeah, and I was getting a lot of, there's this guy Lovelock who talks about
Gaia.
All the kind of, that the Earth is a system,
Right, the Gaia principle.
Yeah, exactly. And then it will correct itself. And these are all theories that are bandied about in the movie. And, one of the things that I kind of based Mark's character on, I was reading the biography of Einstein while I was shooting that beautiful new biography that came out on Einstein, and one of the things that really struck me about Einstein's story was how he was kind of an atheist when he was younger, and then, you know, as he worked and, you know, got more and more into, you know, the way the world exists, the science, the rules behind it that he was discovering, he started to become a believer again. And there, in a way, he saw in the gaps in science some hand at work, something, some divine hand, and he attributed it to God, you know, and he became a believer, a devout believer in the later years. And in that same way, like Mark's character is just a high school science teacher, but he knows there's gaps in science that we keep trying to fill, but it's in those gaps that he can see something, he can hear something that's at work,
right,
that's greater than us.
Well, I'm not sure I would agree with you about Einstein and God, but he did believe in some sort of God,
right,
God in all of us. But you're right about the fact that a lot of people look at the world and think there, you know, there must be some sort of other being controlling it. Is that where your movie heads, in sort of some sort of intelligent being?
Well, you know, it's more open-ended movie. You know, it's very much kind of reminiscent of the Birds. Like,
right,
that was kind of the inspiration and the open-endedness of it. It's really kind of, you know, the goal was to make kind of a B science fiction movie about a subject that, you know, you have a great ride and you jump and you're scared and you're crying and you do all those things as an audience member. And then at the end, the fumes of the movie kind of leave you thinking about something a little deeper. Perhaps like, you know, in Invasion of the Body Snatchers,
right,
you know,
right,
it's about the paranoia of communism or even Night of the Living Dead. You kind of have traces of the civil rights movement. And in that same case, the thing that's on our mind now is, you know, what, you know, when we hear about, you know, anomalous environmental things that are happening, is this something calculated? Is this something going on here? Is there a shift that's going on? And you know, it kind of... The idea did come to me kind of driving down the highway from Philly to New York and kind of thinking about, you know, the road as a kind of a scar on the landscape and all the trees bending over the highway. And
why did you choose a science teacher to be?
I'm sorry?
Why did you choose a science teacher, of all people, to be the one who discovers and or is the central character?
Well, I mean, he wanted to have somebody that had enough knowledge and also a lack of knowledge, that, you know, a kind of a humbleness about the things that they knew and that they didn't know. So it felt like somebody who had just moderate knowledge. This isn't someone who's going to save the world or come up with any answer or anything like that. This has to be somebody who knows enough to believe. You know, most of my movies are about that kind of, like, struggle to awake the belief system again in you. And Mark plays this character, Elliot Moore, who kind of is almost childlike in his belief of what he sees in science and what the implications are.
And so instead of a scientist who has strong beliefs, you're having someone who's open to any kind of suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's like I have found a lot of people that are, you know, extremely logical. The kind of the search for science is in
right.
a way to kind of find evidence to some extent, or an explanation is kind of, you know, The not knowing is excruciating, and you know, there's a bunch of scientists that, you know, that I've met that have a kind of a, you know, a belief system in their eyes that isn't cynical, that isn't about logic. There's the joy of discovering that there's other things at work.
Mm-hmm. I'm reminded, you know, of scientists in various films and movies who were the investigators. Sometimes they're really sinister characters. Other times, and a film like yours that reminded me of was the original War of the Worlds, where was it? Gene Barry played
right.
the scientist who everybody turned to, and eventually figured out what was, you know, how the creatures were destroyed.
Yeah, you know, in our movie, it's Mark's character is you know, in the movie is very much kind of a wonderful question. You know, it's ambiguous what's going on, and it kind of tweaks our guilt a little bit as you watch it. And so the kind of getting that tonality was just right. It isn't a kind of an ABC case where you find out this cure and it cures everything. It isn't that structure, isn't it? It's much more of a lingering kind of question in the air, and it kind of leaves you uneasy about the future.
So people will come out of this discussing it amongst themselves.
That's the hope for sure. It's kind of like after the last scream is done, there's kind of this quiet that happens, and it sits on us, and kind of in the importance of things that, you know, that are on our mind. You know, I guess it's always about my movies are always about something I'm worried about in life.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're always known for films with a twist ending. I mean, at the ending, you know, of I See Dead People. That was a great ending. Can we expect a twist ending at the end of this film?
No, actually, you can't. You know, and I, you know, whenever I hear that, I get confused because, you know, I've made a bunch of movies that don't have twist endings,
right.
But I guess, you know, it always happens that way, right?
Well, people like Hitchcock, like, you know, you've talked about the Hitchcock and comparisons
exactly.
to Hitchcock.
You know, yeah, that's what I always love to say. It's like, so Hitchcock's known for twists too, right?
Right.
He did one. So that's I guess that's my lot in life as well.
Well, but Hitchcock let you in on the little secret of the movie all the time.
Yeah, he would do kind of a reverse structure where you were ahead of the characters.
And we're not going to be ahead of the characters in this film.
Well, it's kind of different. It's more of a, you know, what I love about it, it's like a classic old paranoia movie. That was the goal, way, you know, to do one in its genetics, everything about it was like a simple, perfect dive off the diving board.
Mm-hmm. It's always sort of, as you say, a B-movie sort of genre.
Yeah, definitely. Like a best B-movie you've ever seen. That was the goal with the crew.
Wow, and you think people will not be disappointed with the ending? Like, even if it's not a resolved ending, they won't be disappointed with it.
I hope so. Why do you sound so cynical?
Where are you coming from? Well, no, I'm just saying.
You're asking the filmmaker whether he thinks the ending is going to be disappointing.
Well, like, I thought maybe I'll get a surprise. I thought I might get a surprise answer out of you. You know,
I love the ending of the movie. The kind of, you know, when it turns from entertainment to just a hair of thoughtfulness. That's what I loved about the end of Night of the Living Dead. That kind of the tragedy of it.
And there's a lesson in this film.
Well,
would you think
only in the thought and the subject matter of it, but mostly it's to be entertained.
Well, I wish you great luck with it, and I can't wait to take a look at it.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. And M. Night Shyamalan, who is a director and writer and producer of The Happening, as they say, coming to a theater near you, and what better date? It's opening on Friday the 13th. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll switch gears and start talking about this bill in the Senate. Greenhouse gas bill in the Senate that sort of died in the Senate today, and we'll be back next year in the Senate with a new president. Maybe it'll have better luck. Maybe that's why it died today. We'll talk about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.